I'm Mary Giles, and I'm speaking with Mr. Mader this afternoon, and it's almost beginning to snow, but we're going to talk about his life from the very beginning in Rhode Island up to the present time. This is Mr. Daniel Mader, and I'm Mary Giles, as I said before, and he's going to tell me first about being born in Rhode Island in a perfectly beautiful house that was taken to the and reproduced at the St. Louis exhibition. Could you tell a little bit about that?
Well, I lived there till I was about 12 years old. And then we moved from there to another house about a mile from there.
This was really a mansion, wasn't it?
Yes, it was a real mansion.
And
it was built by the Indians.
Your house was built by the Indians?
For a man that was in love with a girl, and the girl told him she wouldn't marry him unless he had the best house in the country. And he had this house built by the Indians. At that time, they was going with this girl, but when he got it all done, she said it was too far out in the country and she wouldn't marry him, and he'd
gone to all that trouble, and
he died with a broken heart.
That's the story. And then how did your family get it?
I really don't know how my family got it. My uncle owned Quinn Snicket, which was part King Philip's winter quarters. Secondit was King Philip's summer quarters. So they stayed up there. My uncle owned this land, and he gave it to the state, which is now Lincoln Woods. And the state has it for Lincoln Woods for a park now. And
is that great, big, wonderful, huge rock where King Philip
yes.
stood up on top and underneath?
That was in
Quinsnicket.
Mm-hmm. Quinsnicket was the Indian name, but they changed it to Lincoln Woods.
I see.
They, because the town of Lincoln.
Yes.
But they give it to the state.
Now, have you heard stories about whether King Philip, back in those days when he was leading his people from Quinsnicket, was angry with the white men?
I don't know anything about it, of course, because that was before my
Have you heard stories about that? Because you know he supposedly destroyed every house in Westport, except one during King Philip's war.
Well, all I really know is that they come down here, and I picked up arrowheads around when I was plowing when I first come here. And when I first come here, I went to work on a farm here in Westport in Ocosit, which is now the Ocosit Club Golf Club. Ocosit Golf Club. My sister married the boy that lived on this farm. So when I come here, I come right down there to work on the farm.
How did you happen to come here from Lincoln?
Well, I come here on account of my health. I was working in a stocking factory, and the dye stuff didn't agree with me, and they told me I wouldn't live a year.
Uh-huh.
So I come down and went to work on the farm.
I'm going to interrupt a second. When you lived in that really beautiful mansion that was reproduced at the St. Louis Fair, your family must have had a lot more money then than they did when you came and worked in the stocking factory.
It was really a two-family house, and she lived in one side, She owned the house. She lived in one side. My father, when took the other side.
I see.
And he run a milk business.
I see.
He was one of the first milkmen in Pawtucket.
Oh, I see.
And he run a milk business from there.
Yes.
So that we used to peddle the milk. We collect the milk up in the Lime Rock,
mm-hmm.
around the different farms,
mm-hmm.
and then he would take it to Pawtucket and sell it.
I see.
And I went with him on the milk truck. Early, we'd start out 2 o'clock in
when
the morning.
When you were a little boy.
I was a little boy, but mm-hmm. I'd come home and then would go to school.
Mm-hmm. And it was that you were about 12 then when you came here. Yeah,
I was about 12 when I left that house, and then we moved to another house.
I see.
Well, I was 20 when I come down here.
I see.
And I was 20 or 21
mm-hmm.
when I come here.
And you came here because it was more healthy for you than working.
They told me I'd got to get outdoors
mm-hmm.
because I couldn't stand the dye stuff.
Yes.
In the stocking factory.
Yes.
So I come here and worked on the farm over there.
Mm-hmm.
They had it was really, they had a lot of summer boarders. They
mm-hmm.
had 33 or 4 summer boarders also every summer, right straight along. And they run a 4-seated wagon with a pair of horses from there to Fall River, New York boat. And I would, sometimes they'd send me on this wagon to the New York boat at night with a load of passengers. And I'd sleep in the stable in the back of the wagon till morning and meet the New York boat, the morning boat, and then come back with the passengers that come down to the...
Where did you take the passengers?
Well, take the boarders. They'd come from New York
uh-huh.
to go board down here for the summer.
I see.
They'd come for 2 weeks, and
yes.
then they'd go back, and another crew would come.
I see.
So because that they kept changing boarders, and we'd have to run that wagon back and forth to
mm-hmm.
to take the boarders back and bring the freight back.
Did you ever take boarders over to Westport Point?
No.
No. Because somebody did meet the Fall River, New York to Fall River boat and take people to Westport Point because I taped a man named Basil Hall. Do you know who he is? He came about that time, about your time as a child, and was... would take the boat from New York and come to Fall River overnight and would be met and taken to Westport Point by someone. So apparently that Fall River line had several people.
Oh, yes. There were two. Here there were 2 or 3. It was the stage that run from the harbor.
Yes.
And then the Howland House, they had a 4-seater that went up, and there was a man that drove that, and then from the Davis House, that's where I was.
Yes.
The Davis House, they run that one up there just when they had passengers to go back and forth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I'd be put on to do that. I'd sleep in the wagon and bring back passengers the next morning
mm-hmm.
from the New York boat that come in.
And this was when you were in your 20s?
Yes.
In your early 20s.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, what did you
then
do?
Then I bought this place, and after a while...
This is on River Road here.
This is on River Road. I bought this place. My sister lived the second house above here after she left over there.
Yes.
And...
After she left Lincoln.
After she left the farm over here.
Oh, I see.
They bought that house, the
mm-hmm.
second house above here,
mm-hmm.
and they lived there. So I bought this one.
That's
and
nice.
Stayed here. I stayed here, lived here alone for a year before I was married.
Oh.
Then
where did your wife come from?
She come from New London, New Hampshire.
Oh, she did. How'd you meet her?
I went there to school for 1 year.
Oh, yes.
See,
well, what was the name of your school? Do you remember?
Colby.
Colby. You went to Colby Junior College for a year. Or was it Colby
Academy at that time?
Academy at that time.
And I went there and I met my wife there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we were married. I'd been here a year after I had, and I was married after that.
Mm-hmm.
And she come here to live. Well, all we had for water when I first come here was a whale oil barrel that took the water from the roof of the house into this barrel, and we'd go out there and dip out the water to use for washing and dishes and things of that sort.
What did you do for drinking?
I'd have to bring the drinking water from a well that was way down to the barn.
Oh.
And I'd bring up the drinking water from there,
mm-hmm,
and use that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, after we'd been here a while, I built a system,
mm-hmm,
and put a filter in the bottom of that, and we used that for the water, and I still had to bring the drinking water.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was quite a little while after that that I had the water piped from the barn up here.
Mm-hmm.
Before
so
I
you
put
didn't
that
have to
in,
cut
that
it all
was
your...
many years, quite a few years afterwards.
Yes.
But we burned all we had to for fires were just a wood fire in the kitchen and one in the dining room. And we closed off a lot of the house so that we didn't have to use the heat only in those two or three rooms.
I saw some
and,
pictures of beautiful, beautiful wood piles. Did you make those?
We burned about 7-quarter wood a year,
mm-hmm,
in those two stoves. And, well, that was, we did that for quite a few years, but the harbor people, the summer people, burned coal. They got coal. There was the coal dealer lived in Adamsville, and he would sell the summer people tons of coal, which he would have come in on a two-masted schooner to Charlton's Wharf, and all of the farmers would go down with tip carts and load the coal and a ton at a time and deliver it out to the houses.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a few years after I had been here, some of the harbor people, some of the summer people, when they went home, had hired their houses, so they had no use for the coal and they couldn't take it with them.
Mm-hmm.
They would give some of us that worked around here some of the coal.
Yes.
Well, I had had a half ton of coal given to me once or twice, and that got me started to using coal in
instead of
one
wood?
Of the, one of the stoves instead of the wood.
Uh-huh.
But schooner that come in with 40 ton of coal onto the wharf, he would come in and again and take 40 ton right straight through to Adamsville, to the coal bunker. They had a coal bunker up, it was in Westport.
Oh.
But the Adamsville people would get their coal from that coal bunker. But that coal, that two-masted schooner.
Where did this
go,
two-masted schooner come from?
It come from Bristol.
Oh.
The captain of the thing come from lived in Bristol,
mm-hmm.
and he come from over to Bristol.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
now, is Bristol on the water?
Yes.
It's on the water.
Yes.
I thought it was inland.
No.
It's on the
water.
Water.
He come from Bristol, and he picked the coal, get the coal over there somewhere,
mm-hmm.
and bring it in. He also brought in oyster shells, which they made some of the roads at the harbor in with oyster shells. And we would go down and deliver the oyster shells the same way.
Mm-hmm.
I remember a good deal about that because we'd always pick out a lot of oysters that were all good. And we would have quite a few of those that the captain would give each one a pail full of oysters as we...
You'd have nice big oysters too.
And we enjoyed them very much.
Mm. Now, was this before you worked on the Charlton place?
That was before I worked on the Charlton
place. What did you do?
And after a while, they fixed this road out here. They tied it over, put crushed stone on it, and tied it over, lye-carted stone into the crusher there for the year that they were doing that. And then when I got...
Where'd you get the stone?
I got the stone on the place here,
mm-hmm.
where they'd taken some of the walls down. The man that had owned this place had an idea he was going to make a golf links or something out of it, and he spoiled a lot of the walls and taken them down so that I could... I took just the bottoms that were no good,
mm-hmm.
and carried them to the crusher. Well, there was
Where was the crusher?
The crusher stood down on the corner of the crossroad.
I see.
And that helped me a good deal on as far as bringing in a little money.
Is this one? Is it with that stone that you, when your wife was having a baby in the hospital, is that how you earned
That's
the money?
That's how I earned money enough at cottoning this stone into this crusher to pay her hospital bills.
Yes.
And I felt pretty good about that.
Yes.
And but after that, I went to work for Charlton,
mm-hmm.
and we got $4 a day with a team.
And it was your team?
Team. I had to furnish the team. I had to furnish a pair of horses and a tip cart. And I got $4 a day from 7 in the morning until 5:30 at night.
That was a long day.
And I worked there about 2 years. Well, most of the time I run a scoop to scoop the dirt off from the top of the gravel and sand bank so that they could get the sand to work in the cement,
mm-hmm.
in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And in doing so, we uncovered it happened to be an Indian burying ground.
Tell me about those
and
black spots you found.
As I scoop off, why, they'd be four black spots right along in rows, and I'd scoop that black dirt off and then get down underneath. You'd come to oyster shells, and then as you scoop the oyster shells off, you'd come to ashes. And as you scoop the ashes off, you'd come to the skeleton. And they took these skeletons up, and they took them around to some of the museums. I think they took some to Boston and some to New York.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know just exactly what they did with them, but I think they took them to museums.
You thought that they were Indians who were not native here because of the way they were buried?
There were no arrowheads or Indian clubs or anything of that sort there, so I had an idea. They must have been the enemy,
mm-hmm.
because there was another cemetery over towards Little Compton, a little more, that had the arrowheads in it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was different. I didn't know too much about that.
No.
But down here, we didn't have any arrowheads.
What were these Indians called, the Indians who lived here? What was their...
it was King.
And what tribe were they? You don't know which tribe
no.
they were.
Well, it was King Philip, that's all.
Yes. Well, King Philip was a Wampanoag.
Well,
and
the
Wampanoags, apparently, I've learned since I talked with you, that they are they're not a tribe, they're a federation of a whole lot of different tribes. For instance, you said you worked at the Okoxit Club?
I worked at the Okoxit Club.
Now,
town of Okoxit got their name from the Indians.
So that these were probably Okoxit Indians who lived here.
The Indians, the Okoxit means black swan.
Mm-hmm.
There are a number of swan down in the pond. And at that time there happened to be a black one. They
mm-hmm.
called it black swan.
Mm-hmm.
So it was
That's what Okoxit means.
Named Okoxit.
Mm-hmm.
For the black swan.
Well, don't you think that maybe...
We have had a black swan down there since I've been here.
Have you?
We had a pair of them one year, but somebody shot them.
Oh.
And
isn't that
they
awful?
They were found dead, mm. and they found shot.
Oh. But don't you imagine that maybe, with all those things being so closely related, that these probably were the Okoxit Indians here, that they were that,
as far as I
since everything is named that.
That was all before my
mm-hmm.
my time.
Of course it was. You weren't living here in Indian days.
But in plowing, I picked up arrowheads now and then, plowing with horses. Of course, as we plow with tractors, you can't find them.
No.
But at that time, as you'd walk along with the plow, why, you'd see them in the dirt and pick them up.
Mm-hmm.
So I had quite a few of those.
Mm-hmm. Well, that is the most exciting thing. How long, you say you worked 2 years on the...
About 2 years for Charlton's.
Mm-hmm.
And then I...
Was the house built in those by the end of the 2 years, or was it finished, or...
Yes, it was built. I think it was built about... I don't think it took any longer than that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I worked around the guarding after they
mm-hmm.
got through with the house.
You worked in the garden? Gardening and...
Worked around...
planting shrubbery and
yes,
things like that?
Yes,
mm-hmm.
cutting dirt and things like that
mm-hmm.
around there.
Now, after you got through doing that, what did you do? You were married then.
I was married.
And you had a baby. You had a young boy,
yes,
a son.
I had...
Freeman.
Freeman, and we lived here and did farming and
mm-hmm.
worked on the road.
What did you raise when you farmed?
Well, raised turnips and potatoes and corn.
Mm-hmm.
Used to raise corn and take it to the grist mill. We raised all our own oats and all our own corn and all the general farming.
Yes, I saw some pictures and you told me a little bit once about your wife raising turkeys.
And my wife raised quite a few turkeys. She enjoyed that quite a little and raised those. It was all done at that time outdoors without, they didn't fence them in the same as they do now.
They didn't keep them, their feet off the ground or anything.
It was all done so that you were... They were harder to raise because they'd get the blackhead, but she would manage to raise quite a few each year.
Mm-hmm.
And that she enjoyed that, and it kept her outdoors.
Yes. Now, all these things you raised on the farm, did you eat and use yourselves, or did you sell some?
Well, I sold some turnips. I sold... And they would cart them to Providence.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't cart them.
Mm-hmm.
We'd sell them to man that did.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Howland used to run a wagon up to carry turnips and things like that.
To Providence.
And to Providence.
Mm-hmm.
Well, finally we begun to get into the milk business.
Could we pause this a moment? Now, just where did Steve Howland live?
Over on the other road, just below the chapel.
Oh, yes.
Just almost across from the golf links.
Mm-hmm.
And they run the summer boarding house over there, the hotel.